This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Now, yesterday, time was not on our side, and I did say I wanted to bring you a story about a major change which could soon affect how visitors enter residential estates, also office parks and other gated properties across the country. Okay, Craig now is waving frantically at me. It seems as if the story doesn't want to get out there, but I'm going to try to bring you that story as soon as I can, time permitting. But for now, I'd like to welcome Bulelani Balabala, an award-winning entrepreneur, founder of the Township Entrepreneurs Alliance, and of course, one of South Africa's leading voices on growing and strengthening township businesses. Bulelani, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us on the Afternoon Brief. Hi, Bulelani. Okay, we seem to be having a connection issue, so Craig will try once again to get hold of Bulelani, and maybe I can just bring the story quickly to you regarding a proposed information regulator code of conduct linked to the POPIA Act. Security guards may no longer be permitted to routinely scan or make digital copies of visitors' driving licenses. Instead, gate staff would be expected to collect only the minimum information needed for security purposes, such as, well, your name, vehicle registration, purpose of the visit, and entry and exit times. So are you comfortable with having your driver's license scanned every time you enter a residential estate or office park as things stand now? What do you think practical alternatives exist that provide strong security without compromising your personal information? Let's talk about that. WhatsApp 061 895 1019. Right now, Bulelani, I just want to check. Are you there? Hello, Bulelani.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good afternoon, Bulelani. Great to have you on board, and thanks for joining us on today's show. Bulelani, I have introduced you as an award-winning entrepreneur and founder of the Township Entrepreneurs Alliance, but for those who have just tuned in, I just want to give them some background as to what we will be discussing, and it's going to focus on township economies, from spaza shops, salons, to mechanics, food outlets, informal traders, small businesses, of course, having reported lost income, damaged stock, and fewer customers. Now, for entrepreneurs already operating on tight margins, even a few days of disruption can have long-lasting consequences. Bulelani, once again, thank you for joining us on today's show. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since the protests. So from your conversations, Bulelani, with entrepreneurs on the ground, how are township businesses coping or looking right now?
I mean, I think the conversation that we're having, I think, with some of the business owners really at the moment is, I think some of them actually said, you know, they picked up an uptake in sales because of the whole immigration movement and the marches at the moment. On the other side, there's still an element of, you know, confusion from the young individuals who want to occupy and take advantage of certain market spaces,
right,
but they still don't know where and how to start. And then I guess it's the disparity of the ones who were receiving services from particular providers who now have had to shut down.
Just as a matter of interest, which types of township businesses have been hardest hit and why?
I think the biggest have been spaza shops, right? Because I think majority, about 80% of spaza shop owned and ran by foreign nationals. So I think by primary virtue of that, you find that those are the ones that primarily become the biggest victims, have had to shut down. I think on the other side as well, from a sector perspective, is usually and mostly retail sector businesses that have then been impacted the most, I think, in terms of the data that we are able to pick up.
You know, at this stage now, what practical support should government banks and the private sector be providing right now to help businesses recover?
No, man, I think for me, really, there's a couple of key things, right? I think from a long-term perspective, the couple of key things for me needs to speak to the intention around the budgets that are allocated towards enterprise applied development, in ensuring that you get more younger people into these spaces. And I think when the moment you do that, it sort of then calls down the chaos or the chaos as well as the backlash from the public, right? Because I think from a state of joblessness, it then creates a space and a room to sort of pick out at various things and now start to create, challenges around. So I think for me, more intentional programs then become very, very important. But however, government needs to create the enabling environment. Because I think a couple of the key frustrations in and around there is if you're not securing the borders, your citizens are the ones who then pay the ultimate cost in the long term, in the long run. The second key thing that has really come out is if the business registration requirements for locals, for foreign nationals are not equal or actioned out in an equal, consistent fashion, then you're not making the market a a competitive one for locals to be able to garner the growth that they are looking for in the long or even the medium term from a growth perspective as well. So then it really requires, so anything that a corporate or big business would want to do sort of falls on its side if the regulatory environment, the policy enablement environment is not right.
Let's look at the ripple effect now. Moving on from what you've just outlined, Bulelani, when one business closes temporarily, what knock-on effect then does that have on suppliers, employees, neighboring businesses, and the broader township economy and other economies for that matter?
No, man, I think by virtue of the fact that, from an economic standpoint, things are interconnected. Obviously, the people that have gotten jobs get impacted. The supply, the suppliers who were sort of delivering goods now start to see lesser volume. So it's got a direct financial impact, which is why then I think the positive element and the positive drive and the positive response really here from government is to say, as a result of, we will then, implement these sort of interventions to then support. Because you look at the last report that came up from, that was done by the Department of Small Business Development around that 600 million rand fund, where they had only dispersed only 80 million from a 600 million rand fund to support spaza shops. Where spazas all over the country are then also then asking for transparency to say, show us the people that you gave this money to, because majority of us are complaining. We don't know who these people are. And also equally on the other side, because our needs are pressing, why has it not been pressing on your side to distribute, to allocate, and to find the right type of individual?
Okay, so then on that basis, what measures, what attempts are going to be made to ensure that that is corrected as of now, Bulelani?
No, man, I think for me, really, the role that we continue to play is an advocacy role where it's holding government departments and agencies accountable to their mandate. But at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, the key thing really is for the ones who are in that position to actually do what they need to. But for me, in lieu and in light of where we are as the country, I think it's a clarion reminder to everyone, really, vote with your wallet. That's my view. That's my view. From a consumer, vote with your wallet. The secondary, because then you vote each and every day. The second part is it's important that we ensure that you vote for the right type of parties so that the ones who are not delivering the right sort of values and solutions that we are looking for in the country, can be booted out so that we bring in people that will bring in the right type of change. Because the days of complaining, whereas we keep ticking on the wrong boxes, are over.
What have you then seen from entrepreneurs who have managed to recover successfully? Let's now look to positives on the issue. Are there perhaps lessons other small businesses can learn from them, from what you've observed?
I think at the moment, I mean, it's still too early, right?
Okay.
It's still a little bit too early on our side to pick up on lessons, the data around lessons learned, right? But however, what we have picked up is, and I think what we can create the connotative assumption on is to say, the ones who have expressed that they've seen an increase in sales, there's equally been a sentiment around, I was not ready or I was not prepared for this, which then consistently speaks to the entrepreneurial prowess that needs to push you towards always being ready or prepared for whatever opportunities or eventualities that come, because the market can sway in any direction at any given moment.
Bulelani, for business owners listening today and are feeling discouraged after everything that's happened, what message would you like to leave with them? What advice would you like to put out there?
No, man, I think for me, really, it's entrepreneurship by its virtuous nature. It's largely considered a lonely journey, but however, the strength of the journey and the strength of the journey really is in standing together as a community. And coming together as a community means really for me, building a peer of individuals that are like-minded that will help you navigate and walk the journey. The other key thing really for me is for us to, spend money on each other, support each other, because the moment we do that, then it becomes intentional buying. And I think then we're able to then emulate that spider web economy that the money circulates over 5 to 7 times before it leaves that particular economy or economic environment. So we become very intentional and inclusive about it. But I think then on the third part really for me is the clarion call to consumers to say, please vote with your wallet. Buy local products from local individuals in your communities. Buy products from brands or corporates that you know are actively involved in shape-shifting and plowing back into communities. And then on the third, at the local government elections, vote wisely. Yeah.
Bulelani, thanks so much for your advice on there. Vote with your wallets. Vote with your common sense. That's exactly the message you are putting across there, Bulelani Balabala, award-winning entrepreneur, founder of the Township and Entrepreneurs Alliance, and also one of the country's leading voices on growing and strengthening township businesses. And while recovery may take time, well, today's conversation is a reminder of both the resilience of these businesses and the importance of supporting them. Voting with your wallet, voting for local industry, voting for our local products, and voting with your common sense with the local government elections. Not just during times of crisis, but every day. Bulelani Balabala, thanks so much for joining us.